You're listening to Mornings with Eric and Bridget here on Moody Radio 89.3.
Well, here's a fun fact. On this day in 1955, In God We Trust went on all of our coins. But trust in God and finances, Glenn, sometimes that should go together, but sometimes it doesn't always, right?
Yeah, that's a tough one to combine sometimes, but a great reminder and a great thing to put on there. It's kind of, a lot of people don't realize it took that long to get on there. So yeah, it's a good little trivia this morning.
So Glenn, do you still use coins?
You know what? They are kind of a pain, I have to admit. We do have a Ziploc bag somewhere with a bunch of coins. I probably should take that in somewhere.
This goes far afield, but I showed my daughter, I have a collection of the state's coins, and she's like, oh, I want to do that. So we started looking for those quarters, the state quarters.
Yeah.
You would be surprised how hard those are to find. I live in Florida. We cannot find the Florida state coin. I don't know where they all went to, but my...
Yeah. Years ago, they used to be around more. You're right. You don't see those too often. That's a great little fun thing to do.
We're trying hard, but they're hard to find. All right. Anyway, we're not talking about coinage or phrases, right?
Saving coins, enough coins for retirement. That's what we're talking about as we think about retirement, because it's one of the top questions you get, right?
Yeah, it's one of those things where people just want to kind of have a quick, easy answer, and it's so hard. You know, it's like, oh, there's a lot that goes into it. But yeah, am I on the right track for retirement? How much do I really need to save? You see these ads, you know, oh, here's your magic number, and they flash up. We want it to be kind of formulaic, and man, it's more art than science. You think it'd be very clinical, but it's kind of not. But it's something you want to think about, and think about as early as we can, really, because it makes it a lot easier.
A plus B doesn't equal C, because everybody's different, first off. The other problem is we don't know what's in front of us, right? I mean, we don't know what our health situation is going to be like. We don't know what our living conditions are going to be like. We don't know what kind of job we'll have maybe after we retire. There's just a lot of different variables that we just don't know about.
And that's exactly what it is, Eric. You can't just paint with a broad brush. In a simple way, too, this same thing goes with investing. You know, people say, oh, if you're younger, you should be super aggressive. And if you're younger, you can be super conservative. Not at all. I mean, it depends on how much you have to invest. I've got younger clients that are really kind of nervous in the markets. I got older clients that are super aggressive. It just depends. So yeah, those things you mentioned, you know, age and income, the expenses, the unknowns later on, you know, is someone going to be working? They all come into play. And there is at first sense, it should be kind of mathematical. And it is to a degree. There's great software we have that can really help do that. But there's a lot of nuance, you know. Age, I would say, is probably the biggest factor, because it's time. You know, it's the time that we have to save. And that's really the magic to making this happen. The income that we earn over that period is big. And you would think, well, if someone's earning a lot, then they're going to do great and be on course to good retirement. Not so fast, because if those expenses are right up there with the higher income, they won't be, you know. So, and then there's pensions. They're more rare, kind of like those state quarters. I don't see pensions much anymore, but they're out there. Well, that changes everything. If someone has a pension, they don't have to have as much saved up. A pension is basically like a lot of, you know, built up savings, like a large 401k. So, you know, I've met with people that have these huge incomes, but they have huge expenses. They're going to need more in savings because of that lifestyle. As I mentioned, I've got clients that have kind of just done a lot of good things over many, many years, just savers, moderate income. Well, guess what? They're not going to need to have their magic number, if I'm going to use that term, isn't going to have to be as high, because their expenses, you know, aren't as high. So that's sort of a guideline. But the for sure thing is that in order to have an opportunity to be financially independent, and really, you know, we should pause and say, when we talk about retirement, that's kind of what I phrase it as. More, you know, you don't necessarily have to work or have to work as much late in life. That's what I kind of call financially independent. Not just sitting back playing golf all day. That's pretty rare. And so, you know, how much you have to save to be financially independent. And the key, though, is we've got to spend less than we earn and do that consistently.
Wow, you just dashed my dreams. I can't play golf all day when I retire.
You can. You'd be surprised how few people do it. They'll do that for like a year and go, okay, I'm kind of bored.
Yeah. All right. So, and how are we doing overall as a nation when it comes to planning and saving for retirement?
Well, you know, it kind of depends on age, of course. You would expect, you know, younger people, they're not going to have as much saved up for retirement. They're dealing with college debt and school debt and just getting started and rent and mortgages, all that kind of thing. It does get better as we get older. But really, as a country, we do have a serious savings problem in general, much less for retirement. So I'll age myself. I'm part of the Gen X generation. This is 1965 birth dates to 1980. And I pay attention to this generation because we're kind of the first one that's relying mainly on like 401ks and IRAs rather than those pensions that we mentioned earlier. So right now, the average Gen X household has about $240,000 in savings, which is great. But it's interesting, there's a wide range. So half of Gen Xers have less than $40,000 saved. So there's a really wide range in there. And, you know, sadly, most of us really don't have enough saved at all, you know, for any sort of retirement yet. And if you look across different age groups, it's really kind of the same. There was another study that showed about half of working households right now are on track to not have enough to maintain that same standard of living, really, even if they work until age 65. And then there was another survey I found that showed only about 46% of households have any retirement savings at all. So, you know, we do have a lot of work to do. Sometimes, you know, is there any sort of guideline as, you know, how much can I draw on, you know, on retirement savings? Sort of rule of thumb that I've noticed works pretty well. Once you hit retirement age, you know, say 65 or so, in general, you can take at about 4%, maybe 5% of your retirement savings each year to kind of live on and spend. And if you do that, there's a really good chance that amount of money is going to last 30 years. But just a quick example, if you think about it, let's say someone has accumulated $100,000. That's a, you know, sizable amount of money. But on using that formula, that's maybe $5,000 a year you can take out. So that's where it's going to take quite a bit if there's no other pensions or anything going on. So we do have some work to do.
We do have some work to do. And the thing is, if you have a young child or a grandchild who is starting, maybe they're, you know, just graduating from college here, or even sometimes having a job before college ends, encourage them to get them to start early. That's the most important thing, isn't it?
That to me, it's amazing over the years how that just keeps coming up in my work life, where I see the magic of starting young and having time, basically making time an ally rather than an adversary, right? You know, you compare like saving in a 401k at work over 30 years versus paying off a 30-year mortgage. We have to do both, you know, most of us, but it's all that extra interest you pay on the mortgage. If you're doing that into 401k, it's time is working for you. And it's really hard for young people. You know, let's say they manage to save, you know, $5,000, I use that number again. Okay, it goes up 10% in the stock market. They made $500. It's big deal. You know, they kind of write it off. So really, you have to think of it as cornerstones. In our 20s and 30s, we're kind of laying the cornerstones of consistent savings, establishing good savings habits. And the sooner you start, the less you have to save. Quick example, let's say somebody wanted to have, you know, a big number, like $1 million in savings at age 65. Well, if someone started at age 25 and saved over 40 years, they would need to save about $6,500 a year, which seems much more attainable. Mm-hmm. But if you waited just 15 years and started saving at age 40, you'd have to save $18,000 a year. And if you add up all those dollars every year, the one that started just 15 years later, you're having to actually save 70% more compared to someone who starts early. So you're right, Eric, just starting early and even if it's a little bit, it's the magic of the time value of money. It's really amazing.
You now, can as find, we get, yeah. I was going to say, you can find those charts. Like if you save $2,000 when you're 21 years old or something like that, and then work it all out to you when you're 65 or 70, you can find those charts.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. In fact, I mean, last week I met with a younger couple. They've done a lot of good things. They managed to have about $100,000 to $150,000 in savings. And, you know, is this enough? Well, I kind of blew their minds because I said, look, if you just save that for 40 years, well, and, you know, past retirement, maybe into their 70s, that $150,000, you don't touch it, it grows to $1.5 million. And that's just a moderate rate of return, you know? Right. So we talk about millions and it sounds unattainable. And it is if we start too late. And that's really the message we want to get across is start early.
All right. With just the remaining couple minutes we have left, what are some other guidelines we need to keep in mind?
Well, you know, we kind of mentioned earlier it all starts, you know, the better. But the key again is whatever age we're starting, all savings is good. But it starts with getting our expenses to be lower than our income. Nothing's going to happen, no matter what, if we don't do that consistently. We're never going to be perfect with it. But it's kind of like you can have the most amazing sports car, and it looks great. But if you can't put gas in the engine, it's not going anywhere. So that savings, that is the fuel, you know, for our retirement. Here's another rough guideline, just to give you something to take away. You know, consistently, if you can, try to save at least 10% of your income each year, longer term for retirement, 401ks, IRAs, that kind of thing. Later, maybe in your 40s and 50s, if you can bump that up to more like 15%, some people can do 20% if your income allows. That's sort of a guideline, but I would try to make 10% a goal, you know, if you can. And again, the sooner you start, the better, because you don't have to save as much. And then, you know, we haven't talked about it, but you know, Social Security is going to be a huge factor for most of us. And it's sort of a, you know, part of that three-legged stool of our retirement. And it's going to be there. They may have to raise taxes and all that, but keep in mind that's there. The problem is with inflation, you know, we still need to do more than that for most of us to be able to, you know, to have a successful retirement. The other thing is I've got many clients. We talked about retiring and just sitting back. A lot of people can retire. They choose to keep working. They enjoy what they're doing. They want to have some spending money. That all helps a lot during retirement. The only thing is you can't just assume you're going to be able to work until you're 75. You know, then your health, a lot of issues may come into play. But income later in life can heal a lot of savings problems. Mm. I will say too, just, you know, investing is just keep investing. There's a tendency as we get older to get too conservative, you know, and if you get too conservative, that you're actually taking on more of a risk that you might run out of retirement savings early. So again, starting early, younger people, they can be a little more growth oriented, a little bit more aggressive and get that, you know, higher rate of return. So I'll kind of end there. This is just, you know, broaching this topic barely. There are, like Eric said, there are calculators you can find. This is what financial advisors do for a living. You know, we can make detailed projections and get everybody's unique situation. There's a thought that, oh, you don't have to deal with this until you're like in your 50s. Man, it's so fun for me to meet with a couple in their 30s, you know, because it's just, again, I can play with time and show them how magical it can be. So retirement planning at any time really is helpful. And I will just end with, you know, we talked about you need to have a lot saved and all that. As people of faith, you know, it goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. We want to be wise with what the Lord gives us, whatever amount and our time and our talents and our income. But as far as security goes, of course, our ultimate security cannot be found in retirement projections or investment balance. It's got to be found in Him. And we got to remember that. In God we trust, right? As we go through all this. So
full
thank you guys.
Yeah, I love that. All right. You can find out more about Glenn. We've got a link to him at ericabridget.org. Thank you so much for your time today, sir.
Thank you. Have a wonderful week.